In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When the time came for the Son of God to be born, Herod, who was the king of Judea, and wanted to be truly the king, having all authority and all power, the way kings do, the way most of us want to be in our own lives, to be the rulers of our own lives, not to take orders or direction from anyone. In America, we think of ourselves as being absolutely free. The individual ought to be free to do however they please. Nothing should be denied them. Even the enforcement of our laws sometimes lean toward the freedom that we all desire. And so we don't enforce them in cases where the vast majority of us would like to be free of that kind of law. That's how it is today. We want absolute power and authority in our own lives. And Herod wanted that kind of absolute power and authority in his own life. But he knew the prophecy that a king would be born, the true king of the people of Israel. And this was a threat to him because he knew that really he was not the true king of the people of Israel. He was not a direct descendant of the kings of the past. His status as a true member of the house of the people of Israel was in doubt. And so there was a great doubt in him as to the legitimacy of his own kingship, just as there is a great doubt in the heart of every one of us as to the legitimacy of our own kingship in our own lives, because we are not meant to have absolute power in our own lives. Nor was Herod to have absolute power. But he sought it. And he had those who knew the scriptures read them. And he wondered over their meaning, this prophecy of the birth of the true king of Israel. And he sought to find this true king in his cradle and destroy him and establish his own authority and his own power. And he had a scheme to do this. The wise men were directed to come to him. Messengers were sent out to them, and they were directed to come to Herod the king before going to lay their gifts before the infant, Jesus the Christ. And they came. Well, we read in Scripture that they were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, but to return by another way. And so Herod's schemes were thwarted. He was not able to establish his absolute authority by locating the true king and killing him. Exactly what would happen to that true king? In the end, the powers, the authority of this world would seek him out and put him to death. And of course, in the end, would fail, because he is the true king. But having failed in his schemes, Herod issued an order that all of the children newly born, all of the young children who had just come into the world, should be put to death. We are told that 14,000 died. 14,000 innocent children. And also you remember Zechariah, who at the time of the presentation of our Lord in the temple, rejoiced in the temple. Zechariah preached far and wide and taught everyone who would listen about the coming of the new king and that the new king had been born. Herod had him put to death. He died before the altar. This was the effort that Herod made. But it can't overturn the kingship of God. Nothing we do, none of our schemes in life, none of our efforts to avoid acknowledging that we are meant to be accepted by God as His children in humility and to follow His way of life, rather than the path of self-destruction. Nothing can change that reality. God created us. He created the world. He made things as they are. And Jesus, the Christ, is the Lord of our hearts. Without Him, we cannot be the ones that He created us to be. The one who created the world came into the world in order to recreate us, in order to create us anew. And that's what He does when we are baptized into His life, separated from the world in rebellion against God and joined to Him. When we come to the sacrament of confession, we reaffirm our new creation so that we can live this life that isn't a life of attempting by our schemes and efforts to establish ourselves as the ultimate and absolute authority in the world. We leave those off as Christians, and we turn toward the path of life, the path where our birth, if we are baptized in infants, hopefully throughout our childhood, we are growing toward living the fulfillment of our own lives, walking a path of greater love and life and the affirmation of others and of God, instead of turning away toward the path of death. Now, we have no way of knowing, although I'm sure the media will dig out every possible detail, profiting by its effort, about this man who took the lives of those children in Sandy Hook. But certainly, for sure, he made efforts during the last few years before this incident to scheme in some way to establish a kind of control and authority in his own life that he did not have. And in the end, just as Herod turned to this mad act of the destruction of 14,000 infants in an effort to establish himself and put himself above them, he took the lives of all of those innocent people, the life of his own mother, to repudiate the womb from which he was born. This kind of mad desire to somehow triumph in the midst of evil, and by the use of evil and the distribution of death to all around us, shocks us and leaves us without any way of understanding. And it would be wrong to try to make it make sense, because it is a mad act. Evil is always mad, self-destructive. It leads to death. We destroy ourselves as this man destroyed himself. We will pray for those who died there. We need to not push them away from us in fear of our own death, because all of us eventually will die. But not like this. We will die a life that has already been renewed and is already eternal. And we want to take those who died that day and pray to God to bring them along with us, to bring them along with Him, to fulfill their lives through this very act that was intended to put an end to their lives. Just as those 14,000 killed by Herod ended up being part of what Jesus Christ accepted when he went to the cross to destroy the power of death. It is our part too to destroy the power of death in life, to destroy the power of death in our own life. And that's where we can see some connection between this horrible ultimate conclusion of a lust for control of one's own life that escapes us, as the desire for control and kingship escaped Herod in spite of everything. just as it escapes this man. We can testify to that. We can testify because in our own lives, it isn't following the path of death that leads to our triumph. It is following the path of life. We have an alternative as Christians. We have heard Jesus give the parable of the supper. How many are called, but few are chosen. Few are chosen because few choose God within themselves. Those are the chosen ones, the ones who join themselves to Him in order to triumph over death. Those are the ones who come to His table and receive His own life into themselves. That's why He called them to that table. The Blessed Theophylact says that none of those who are rulers or self-reliant, who rely upon themselves, respond to Jesus' call to come to His table. None of them. They're all out busy on their own with their schemes, you see. Now, we are not Herod, we are not mad, but we do have those schemes, each of us, pursuing their own plan for having things work out without turning away from those efforts to rely on ourselves and coming to gather with all of the others at the table where we receive God's life into ourselves in humility and continue back into the world to walk the path of life. It's always a choice between the path of death and the path of life. We delude and confuse ourselves and believe that we can find some way, some scheme to work things out in the end. But we must teach ourselves. Theophylact says that a good teacher compels those that he teaches to turn toward the truth, to make the effort. He urges them, or she urges the student, to make the effort necessary to gain what needs to be gained, as we need to gain control over our own desires and compassions, and compel our heart to come in to the kingdom of God, to compel it to come in and to receive the life of God Himself into ourselves, a life without which we cannot follow the path of life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.